I'm a UC cop. Carol Denny's Failure to Disperse, a great album. On the line, we have another guy who fails to disperse, Will, from the Coalition to End the Bombing in Yugoslavia. Hi, Will.
Hi, Robert. I was just calling to make an announcement. There's going to be a radical theater thing going on this Wednesday Wednesday afternoon at the Junction up at UCSC. That's at the Student Center. It starts at 4 p.m. It's going to be open mic, drumming, poetry, guerrilla theater, and all sorts of neat stuff. Some of the people that are going to be there, Direct Environmental Action League, Teatro Zapatista / Dos X, which is a spoken word and theater group, Santa Cruz Art and Revolution, the Liberation Drummers, the Santa Cruz branch of the IWW, the Coalition to Free Mumia Abu Jamal, Earth First, Coalition to Stop the Bombing, Young Socialists, United Farm Workers, Pesticide Action Network, and
what about
more.
The sleeping band people, man?
I don't know.
They're probably invited, huh?
They're definitely invited.
Maybe even hobos from hell are going to be there.
What?
Oh, we have in the studio with us a man who publishes Hobos from Hell. Which he's a hellish hobo, and he may be up there too.
Yeah, it would be excellent to see him.
Is there a number people can call for more information?
There is no number that I currently know of, but I will see if I can make a couple of phone calls and talk to people and recruit a number and announce it on the air later.
You were talking yesterday at the rally. I know you were at the protest to wake up Sam Farr and the constituents around him, around the bombing of Yugoslavia. You were talking about a meeting today at the town clock. Is that still something you want to announce?
Yeah. There is going to be a solidarity action. There were 5 people arrested, you've announced this already, correct?
Sure.
The 5 people were arrested, solidarity with them, and especially with Steve Argue, who got beaten by the police.
He's currently being held for ransom in the county jail for
$20,000 ransom.
Right.
Yeah. So we're going to be meeting at the town clock, and if you're interested in showing your solidarity or just finding out more about what happened, show your outrage, show your interest, just generally show your support for people who are right now having the police step on them right in our own neighborhood. Town clock at 5:30 today. So everybody please come out.
Hey, thank you, Will.
All right. Thanks, Robert. Bye.
And the there's also, of course, tomorrow on Monday night at 3:30 up on campus, there's a meeting of the Coalition to Stop the Bombing of Yugoslavia, the same folks who brought you such a fine demonstration yesterday with paper body parts, newfangled flyers, great signs, and fine noisemakers. One of them has been confiscated by the police, a criminal boombox, which was apparently booming a little bit too loudly to the folks inside the McPherson Center yesterday, telling them about how it sounded to be under the bombs in Belgrade. And I tell you, it sounds pretty nerve-wracking. I understand they're giving the kids tranquilizers. And there was the heaviest bombing of the entire 60-day campaign in Belgrade yesterday, for those of you who follow such things on the Internet. I'm going to be doing some updates on that. Before I do, though, I'm going to play a little bit more music and try to roll to an interview with Phil Baer. Phil was an outspoken protester yesterday. He's usually a very mellow, sometimes too moderate for my tastes, advocate who has been trying to maintain housing for those who have it in the beach flats before it gets bulldozing Expedition Number 2 hits with the infamous Dolphin Lee project. I'm going to try to get him on the phone. Let's take a brief musical break, and I'll be right back.
The morning we built the city.
In the afternoon walked through its streets.
Evening saw us leaving. We wandered through our days as if they would never end. All of us imagined we had endless time to spend. We hardly saw the crossroads and small attention gave to landmarks on the journey from the cradle to the grave, cradle to the grave, cradle to the grave.
Did you learn to dream in the morning?
abandon dreams in the afternoon.
Wait without hope in the evening.
Did you stand there in the traces and let them feed you lies? Did you trail along behind them wearing blinkers on your eyes? Did you kiss the foot that kicked you? Did you thank them for their scorn? Did you ask for their forgiveness for the act of being born, act of being born, act of being born? Did you alter the face of the city?
Make any change in the world you found?
Or did you observe all the warnings? Did you read the trespass notices? Did you keep off the grass? Did you shuffle off the pavement just to let your betters pass? Did you learn to keep your mouth shut? Were you seen and never heard? Did you learn to be obedient and jump to our word, jump to our word, jump to our word?
Did you ever demand any answer?
The who and the what and the reason why?
Did you ever question the setup?
Did you stand aside and let them choose while you took second best? Did you let them skim the cream off and then give to you the rest? Did you settle for the shoddy and did you think it right to let them rob you right and left and never make a fight? Never make a fight, never make a fight. What did you learn in the morning?
How much did you know in the afternoon?
Were you content in the evening? Did they teach you how to question when you were at the school? Did the factory help you grow? Were you the maker or the tool? Did the place where you were living enrich your life and then? Did you reach some understanding of all your fellow men, all your fellow men, all your fellow men?
And that was Ewan McCall and Peggy Seeger from the Song of Accounting. A great song that I first heard, 20 years ago, 25 years ago. And now we're going to try to put on the line Phil Bearer. I think we're about to get him.
Turn down the mic here. We're talking to Phil Bearer, a member of the, Beach Area Residents Association, is that correct?
Beach Flats Neighborhood Association.
One of these days I'll get it right. And also apparently a voice among many angry voices at yesterday's protest to end the bombing in Yugoslavia.
Yeah.
You were pretty pissed off yesterday there, Phil. What upset you?
Well, of course, the war itself upsets me for the various reasons, but last night our police, acted in a way that was truly, improper.
How so?
Well, maybe 100 people there, something in that vicinity.
I thought it was much less, but some have said 100, yeah.
I think if you counted everybody on the fringes, you might have had 100, probably 50 up at the window. Somewhat loud chanting, fairly traditional kind of demonstration, I thought. Nothing too over the edge. No police around at all that I saw. And then all of a sudden, these three cops just stormed into the circle. I didn't even see them coming. It was that sneaky. Grabbed this young Asian American woman. I don't know why they signaled her out. Seemed totally arbitrary to me. Wasn't doing a thing. Soft spoken. Just one of us. Certainly not a ringleader or anything like that, and drug her out without saying that they were going to do so, telling her what she had done wrong, giving her the opportunity to stop doing whatever it was they thought she was doing wrong, give her an opportunity to disperse, nothing, just bam. am. And within seconds of when I, standing 5 feet away from her, became aware that they were even there, they were out of there, practically dragging her, which, you know, alarmed the people there, who followed the police to the sidewalk where they threw her rather brusquely into a paddy wagon that pulled up. So people gathered around saying, what in the world are you doing? You know, question, just kind of reaction like that. Why have you done this? Why her? For what? What are the charges? Why wasn't she given an opportunity to stop doing whatever it was you thought she was doing? That kind of question. And then other people, other police tried to snatch two young children away from their mothers, and it was in response to that that Steve argued, as I understand it, for the purpose of getting, trying to prevent these police from separating these very young children from their mothers, tried to distract the police, and got himself in a world of trouble, apparently, in what could very well be thought of as a heroic act to spare these children from a very traumatizing separation. I mean, these were infants almost. Then several other arrests ensued, and I just thought that the police handled it terribly, really.
You also had some conversations with several city council members who showed up. What was that about?
That was about the bombing itself and the Samphire visit, because it was prior to the police outbreak.
Mm-hmm. And I guess skipping to another area, which we were actually talking about, you and I, yesterday or thereabouts, you had your first lengthy conversation with Tim Fitzmaurice, who you've been concerned has been kind of speeding through a project which you call the Dolphin Lee Project, but which the city and which
they call the Dolphin Lee Project.
Oh, they do. Okay, I thought that they were saying that no such project ever existed, that they are simply looking at their options and all that sort of thing. And you've talked about this on the radio. This is a plan to evict Hispanic people in two complexes, ironically the same Hispanic people, or perhaps not ironically, perhaps intentionally, the same Hispanic people who protested the Beach Flats bulldozing last fall. And what's going on with that now? Have there been any developments?
No. Well, there are two developments recently. We saw a letter to the council from Planning Director Eileen Fogarty indicating that a sum, I think $214,000 from this year's CDBG allocation was tentatively set aside for a project in the Beach Flats. That certainly sounds like they're talking about the so-called Dolphin Lee Project. And then we saw in the SCAN newsletter that the city finance department had been asked to do a budget analysis of the Dolphin Lee Project. And so it seems to us very much as if there is, in fact, a Dolphin Lee Project that is being pushed through all of these hoops in this way that grants it this air of having gone through proper channels, when in fact there is nobody in the neighborhood who was ever notified about the project specifically, and those who have found out about it are unanimously opposed to it, because we are all residents here. If this could happen to these 200 or so people, that is to say, essentially thrown out of their homes with very unspecified and non-guaranteed promises of replacement. replacement housing or some sort of financial assistance if they manage to find for themselves replacement housing. All of it very vague on that level. What much more concrete is that they would, in fact, lose their present homes. We all think, quite logically, I believe, that if it could happen to them, it could happen to us. So the neighborhood is in a state of alarm about this kind of thing.
You know, I guess the real question, one that you continue to raise, at least in private conversation, is, isn't the major housing destroyer in the beach flats the Seaside Company?
Oh, I raise that in more than private conversations. Anybody who does not realize that the reality of what's happening to the beach flats residential neighborhood is that it is being bought property by property by the Seaside Company, the boardwalk, and then usually the properties vacated, people evicted or otherwise disposed of, properties sit empty and bleak looking for a while and then are demolished. The residential area of the Beach Flats neighborhood has been diminished by approximately one-third of its historical size through exactly that process. That is the threat to the Beach Flats residential neighborhood, and we find it just appalling that these folks would come up with a scheme that attacks small-time property owners with properties that are up to code, lived in by residents, most of whom have been there a long time, a very fine community, stable community of people who know each other well and support each other, a real community, a family, as they refer to themselves. Estamos una familia, we are a family. That these people would be targeted for removal from their housing long before the council even thinks to ask the Seaside Company if it might be willing to put people back in legal, adequate, up-to-code housing that they've just removed them from, housing sitting empty, not to mention lots of vacant lots that are still zoned residentially, where they already went through this process and have destroyed the housing, build on those sites or sell to the city and let the city build on those sites, or sell to the city and the city hands it over to Habitat for Humanity or even Mercy Housing, whatever, anything that really stabilizes the neighborhood by saying to the Seaside Company that the city will not tolerate this commercial speculation and destruction of housing. That would be positive. To pick on these small-time property owners and force this stable, non-criminal community out of their homes while ignoring the major problem, which is seaside speculation, is just jive and cowardly on the part of the city.
Well, surely you brought this issue to the council members when they were candidates last fall and got some kind of response from them. And indeed, more recently, you had a conversation with Tim Fitzmaurice at home and brought to him you even offered to volunteer to go to Canfield yourself as an intermediary to discuss possibly some of Canfield's housing being turned into low-income city projects, right?
Yes, since it was revealed the other night by Tim that nobody, at least to his knowledge, from the city, certainly himself included, has ever even asked the Seaside Company if they might be interested in either building some housing or re-inhabiting some housing that already exists, or selling to somebody else to build some housing. Nobody ever even got around to floating the idea by them. Everybody is so, I don't know, cowed by the company in our company town.
It's a strange omission, Phil. What accounts for that? I mean, is it a sort of a reluctance? You say you've spoken to Catherine Byers and she won't even talk to Charlie Canfield?
That's what I've heard secondhand, that she, for whatever reasons, has not and is not particularly anxious to talk to him.
Well, now, we don't
ask me to explain that one.
I won't. I also heard you say that there was some information about that Canfield was getting inside information about the city planning to rezone it to commercial, so get rid of the houses there, buy up the property,
yes,
and reap the benefits?
Yes, we understand that the redevelopment agency told the Seaside Company that the property, that the beach flats, or at least one rather large side of it, was going to be rezoned to commercial, and it would behoove him to go ahead and buy it. You know, that's sort of like insider trading or something.
Sounds like outright corruption to me.
It's real foul.
Uh-huh. So what's next on this peculiar-smelling agenda? I guess there's a city council meeting coming up on Tuesday, and you mentioned, a letter which seems to belie Tim Fitzmaurice's claim that and the claim also of Keith Sugar and perhaps even Chris Crown, that there is no Dolphin Lee project. And Skip Spitzer has said no project endorsed by SCAN. But in fact, there seems to be an engine in motion here.
Absolutely.
I know the CDBG grants come up at the Tuesday City Council meeting. I guess that's in the afternoon session.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be there? Are you going to be dealing
with
it?
Oh, yeah, right. I'll have to be there all day. There's several issues on the agenda, including our attempt to get onto the agenda a proposal that the city council provide the civic auditorium for a visit, a community forum with Sam Farr on the 1st of January, something that the 1st of June, rather, 1st of June at the Civic, a sort of tentative arrangement that we thought we had made both with Sam and with the city council, and I thought I had gone through the exact appropriate procedure.
At a black tie dinner for Sam Farr, and can you put that in, please, right here? And there was some arrests made and some pretty violent acts that went down. The cops were pretty brutal, so we're going to interview some of the people that were arrested and bring some witnesses in here to talk about what happened. And I'll talk about what I saw, too. We're going to play a song right now. Bear with me. This is my first time at this, so...
there must come a day when a box is not somebody's home. The unfinished work of our heroes must truly be our own. We can't let the future become our past if we are to change the world. Won't you tell me please, how many miles must we march? How many miles must we march? How many miles must we march? Whoa, how many miles must we march? How many miles must we march? How many miles? Oh, how many miles?
And you are tuned to Free Radio. This is George. I wanted to talk a little bit about the Wednesday demonstration at Sam Farr's office. Actually, I was going to get on the air and gripe today about how the Sentinel did such incredibly poor coverage of that protest and talk a little bit about that, but then we had a pretty crazy thing happened last night, so that kind of is going to take over, but I'm going to say a little bit about what happened Wednesday. You may know that 11 people were arrested the previous Friday, and then last Wednesday, 14 people were arrested, including myself and Jim, my sister, and what had happened there is I arrived at the county building around 3:30, and there was people sitting in Sam Farr's office, probably about 35, 40 people, and they were just basically occupying it until Sam agreed to speak with us. He had agreed to speak with people at Cabrillo at on June 1st, but there was some complaints about the fact that we wanted to speak to him sooner than, you know, 2-3 weeks off, and that we wanted another mediator besides the Women's League of Voters because they don't allow dialogue generally. And so it would be hard to ask him questions directly. We would have to write them down prior to him speaking. So there wouldn't be that much dialogue going on. And also we wanted to move it closer to Santa Cruz, maybe at UC or something. So anyway, we stayed, 14 people stayed past 5 and were taken, were arrested, and they cited us and got us out of there pretty quick. I think they were trying to keep the press away pretty much. And anyway, the next day in the paper, in the Sentinel, they stated that no arrests were made. They did a horrible article. The only quote that they quoted from any of the protesters that day was, quote, "It's invigorating. Nobody knows what we're doing," unquote. And I thought that that was pretty weak. They could have found a lot more intelligent statements than that to bring up. And they also quoted Sam Farr's aide as having said that people seem disorganized because there had been a democratic process going on and people had been discussing what to do and what their next move was going to be, and she interpreted that as disorganized. And stated that she wished that we knew, had a better idea of what we wanted. So anyway, I wrote a letter to the editor and called the editors telling them how unhappy I was with the fact that the story was on the third page, there was no picture, and that they stated outright falsehoods in it. And it's quite clear what we want. We want the bombing to be stopped, and that should be pretty apparent. Anyway, so I encourage people to write the Sentinel and tell them that when these stories are printed, that we would like them to be on the front page and have pictures, and that the war needs to be back on the front page. For a few days, there wasn't anything on the front page about it, and it's front page news. It should be, because bombs are falling with our taxpayer dollars over Yugoslavia right now, and, you know, we need to know. This is front page news, not third page news, or seventh page news, as was the article that was printed today in the paper about yesterday. And, I have that with me, and I also have Gao Ling, who was the first person arrested yesterday at the protest, in the studio, and she's going to talk with us. I'm going to play a song first and then come back and interview some of the people arrested and talk about what happened yesterday, and also talk about the article that the Sentinel printed this morning about yesterday's protest, but now I'm going to play a song. And this is about the death penalty.
Belly sounding, I run my hands through my hair one last time. And outside the prison walls, town is gathering. People are trading, crying, crying. Everyone needs to see that prisoner. They need to make it even easier. For seeing me as a symbol, not a human being. That way they can kill me. Say it's not murder, it's a metaphor. We are killing off our own failure and starting clean. Bell sound.
And this is 96.3 Freak Radio. I hope you're all planning to come to the benefit tonight at the Vets Hall. Support Free Radio. And that is 7 p.m. And it's a $5 to $10 donation or more, depending. And there's going to be four rounds. Dojo, Matthew Embry, Sin in Space, Delisma. Hope I said that right. With us in the studio is Gua Ling, who was the first person arrested yesterday. And I'm going to ask her a few questions about what she saw and what happened with the arrest and everything. So, hello, Gua Ling.
Hey.
Can you tell us when you got there?
I got there at around 5:50 at the clock tower.
5:50?
Yeah.
And what happened?
We organized a little bit and we walked over to, I think, the Arts Museum, where we started protesting and chanting.
Yeah. Can you talk directly into the mic?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
So you were, when you got to the McPherson building, I noticed when I got there, there was a lot of chalk and signs and stuff. So when you got there, did you guys start writing on the sidewalk?
And yeah, we started chalking the place with slogans or anything about what we thought about the bombing and stopping it and what we thought the U.S.'s place was in that.
So was the black tie dinner already happening when you arrived?
No, it wasn't. We got there and the waitresses were just setting up, and the people who were at the dinner had to walk through us, the protesters. Yeah.
So when they walked through you guys, what was the reaction? Were people polite to them, or was there, what was the situation with that?
Well, some people were coldly polite, and some people started kind of, arguing with the protesters, and the protesters were asking the people to ask SAMFAR to stop the bombing, and some people, started arguing.
So there was some people that were going to the dinner that were in favor of the bombing and were disagreeing with your guys' position, or what?
Yeah, there was some in favor, and some just ignored us politely, and some that said that they were against the bombing, but still were a little bit antagonistic towards us.
Yeah.
It wasn't their problem because they were against the bombing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the dinner started, around 6:30 or something like that?
Yeah.
And you guys gathered around the windows? Because you could see right into where they were eating, right?
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember them eating. I just, we're just chanting and trying to get their attention, and they were trying to hold little conversations while we were.
Yeah, they were trying to act like you weren't there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Uh huh. So they were all really well dressed, sitting in there around these tables with wine and being wined and dined and stuff.
Yeah.
So you know what you just said. I was laughing because I asked Will yesterday how he felt at the moment. I just asked him spontaneous, and he said, "Well, I never want to eat again." He was totally disgusted watching these people sitting in there chewing their food.
Yeah.
Well, bombs were falling, meanwhile. So when I got there around 7, people were kind of banging on the glass and chanting. And was that, how long was that going on? Did that go on for quite a while?
I think it was on and off probably for, I don't know, maybe like 20, 30 minutes. I can really tell the time yesterday.
Yeah.
Before I got arrested.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You got arrested shortly after I got there, around 7. I saw it happen. So can you tell us exactly what happened when they arrested you?
Yeah, I was standing there in front of the window watching them have dinner, and I had a boombox beside me, which wasn't mine, and they just came up behind me and grabbed my wrist, took the boombox, and put handcuffs on my wrist and started leading me away, and I didn't know why, and I was just looking around.
And I remember how stunned you looked. You were just like, what?
Yeah, I was very stunned.
And you were like, I didn't do anything. It was ridiculous. That's why people reacted the way they did.
Yeah.
So, were you holding the stereo?
I held it for a while during up to the glass so that
And what was playing on the stereo?
What was playing was the sound of bombs dropping that I think was probably sent from Kosovo.
Yugoslavia.
Yeah, where mm-hmm. it's happening.
Right.
And we turned it up real loud.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That was a good thing to do. Send
yeah.
a good message. So the officer, I heard he ripped the stereo out of one woman's hand. Was that you he took it from, or was it the other lady, the one who brought the stereo?
Possibly the other lady.
Okay.
Because it's all kind of a little bit of a blur to me, but
yeah.
He probably took it from the ground, and maybe she tried to stop him.
I'm pretty sure that he ripped it out of her hand, the Yugoslavian woman, I don't remember her name,
oh,
who
okay.
brought the stereo.
Oh, really?
She told me he had took it from her, but then
oh,
someone told
okay.
me they had taken it from you. So basically what happened is the cops came out, ripped the stereo out of her hand with no warning whatsoever. She said that they pulled it out of her hand so hard at her wrist, and then they arrested you. So was there any warning whatsoever before they arrested you? Did they tell you to turn it down or step away from the glass or whatever?
No,
anything?
Not no? at all. They just pretty much said something along the lines of, we're going to take you now, or yeah.
They just grabbed you?
Yeah.
For no reason?
Much. Yeah.
So they were leading you through us, and we all kind of gathered around. They threw you in the van, and we were outside. Could you hear us outside chanting, let her out?
I could hear you outside. That was beautiful. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
So what happened when they hauled you off? They just took you down to the jail and decided you? What they charge you with?
They charged me with, I think, disturbing the peace.
Disturbing the peace?
Because I had a boombox turned on too loud, which I don't know why they would exactly
arrest
me for that.
I guess the sound of the bombs was disturbing the peace, you know?
Yeah.
Think about what's happening in Kosovo.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, these poor people sitting in there having their black tie dinner have to suffer through the sound of bombs falling, you know?
the
but,
sound.
But it's not actually happening.
Yeah.
It's halfway around the world, so we don't have to think about it, because we don't have to see it.
Right.
So they charge you with disturbing the peace.
Yeah.
And you have a court date, I assume, in a month or so?
I have a day in which I'm supposed to appear in court. It's not a set date, just within 30 days.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So are you going to... I guess I shouldn't ask you how you're going to plead. That might not be a good idea, but... I... Personally, if it was my choice, would she plead not guilty, because she did absolutely nothing wrong. So how'd they treat you in the jail?
I actually didn't go to jail. They drove us when they got three of us. Yeah.
They put you with who? Who's in the...
Wait, let me see. It was Vinny, Nassim, and Jim. But I think it was only Vinny and Jim at first.
Uh-huh.
And Nassim and Steve came later.
Uh-huh. So they had you all together in there, huh?
Yeah, and they had us in a transport van, and
yeah.
It was very shady, and
uh-huh.
I think it was a transport property van or something,
yeah.
which is a great metaphor.
And they kept you in the van for quite some time,
yeah,
right?
When
yeah.
I could have got inside it out, because...
Right.
Yeah.
We kept calling booking to see what was going on with them, and... They just kept saying they weren't there, and this is like an hour, and we're like wondering, where the hell are they? Maybe they're driving them around, beating them up or something. We didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
So I'll say a little bit about what I saw. I saw Galing hauled off for no reason at all, like I said, and then everyone gathered around the back of the police van, was chanting, let her go, and V-Man was recording this, and I was standing right next to him, and the police arrested him for no reason. And I took his tape thing out of his pocket and continued to tape. And they put him in the van, and he didn't resist. He was just like saying, you know, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not committing a crime. You know, it was kind of backing away, and they just being totally passive. You know, not attacking in any way. And they just threw him in there for no reason. And then Jim Cosner was standing nearby all of this, and two people had just been arrested for absolutely no reason. And of course he's upset, you know, he was raising his voice. A lot of people were, you know, we were getting pretty incensed. And then they just arrested Jim, and he was thrown into the van, kicking and screaming. While this is going on, a woman with a 2-year-old child in her arms and a man with a 4-year-old, around a 4-year-old child in his arms around the front of the van, had been told by police to step back or something and didn't move quick enough, and the cops grabbed the woman's arms and was twisting him, trying to twist him behind her back, and one other police officer was trying to take her two-year-old child from her. The child was hysterical. The mother was hysterical. They chased them across the street.